Good evening, everybody. Welcome to back to Zoom land. We're going to talk about a very interesting shaila in Hilchos Tekiah Shofar. It's a very specific question, and there's a lot of history about this, and a lot of ink has been poured about this on this shaila. And this is called the famous story of the Maisa B'Magenza. We all know that in the early medieval period, the Rhineland, the German, the Jews lived, the Rishonim lived, and the Rishonim in France, the Rishonim in Germany, in the area of Frankfurt, of course, which is on the, right near Mainz. There are about 12 different ways you could spell it. In English, it's Mainz. It's, in Hebrew, it's Magenza. And that was a center of German Jewry. And the Rishonim quote a story that happened, and they tell us exactly when it happened. It happened on the Rosh Hashanah of the year Tuf Kuf Hei. That means 4,905. We're now in the year 5,780. So this happened approximately 985 years ago. So it's pretty incredible that I know exactly what happened in the shul in Mainz on the Rhine River 985 years ago in the year 1045. I know exactly what happened to the Baal Tokeya, which is pretty incredible. I know that Rabbi Jonathan Sachs likes to say that we know what our great-great-great-grandparents 3,500 years ago ate for dinner on the 15th Petei of Nisan. They had a matzah with some salad and some barbecued lamb. Pretty incredible. So I know exactly what happened in the shul in Mainz, Germany, in the year 1040. 1040 was the year. 1045 was the year. And that year, this is what happened in the shul. This is recorded by the son-in-law of somebody who dealt with this shaila. The son-in-law's name is the Ra'avan. The Ra'avan is the earliest source that I know of this very famous shaila, the Maisa of Magenza. The Maisa of Magenza, that's what this shaila is called. And I will share with you my... I will share with you my screen so you can see the source sheet that I have here. And I have a little bit of a history that I got from the Bar Ilan program. They have the history of the Rishonim. And it gives you a little bit of a biography of who the Ra'avan was. The Ra'avan, Rabbi Elazar ben Naslan, was born in Germany in 1090. So that was about, he was born about 50 years after Rashi was born. So he's a contemporary, a little bit of a younger contemporary of Rashi's. And Rashi was in France, of course, and Rashi's grandson, we know, is Rabbeinu Tam. Well, the Ra'avan was the Gadol of German Jewry, as where Rashi and the Balei Tosfos were in France. And he wrote what we're about to learn. And it's interesting to note, look at the third paragraph, one of his sons-in-law was Rav Yoel Halevi, the father of Rav Yoh, among the leading rabbis of France. That's going to be important because we're going to see what his son-in-law has to say about him. So it's important to know that he had a son-in-law, the Rav Yoh, is the Gadol Harishonim. He himself, the Ra'avan, was a son-in-law of a different Rav, who we'll see in a minute. You'll see why these things are going to become important shortly. And interesting to know that the Ra'avan, who we're about to learn in detail, had communications with Rabbeinu Tam in France, who is, of course, Rashi's grandson. So it's all coming together. Rashi was a little bit 50 years before the Ra'avan was born. And the Ra'avan was a contemporary, a little bit of later than Rashi. So that's when we are, that's who we're dealing with. Now, let's see the story that the Ra'avan describes. Those of you who are at Mincha Maariv today in the tent heard me tell this story, and now we'll get to analyze it in depth, Be'ezus Hashem. Ira Po, it occurred here, B'Magenza, Maisa, B'Rosh Hashanah Shel Shnas, Tuf Kuf Hei, in the year 1045 in Magenza. This is what the Baal Tokeya did. Shataka HaTokeya Beis Pa'amim Kashrak. That means Tekiah Shraim Trua Tekiah. He did a Tekiah Shraim Trua Tekiah. Another Tekiah Shraim Trua Tekiah. Perfectly. Tashrat, what we call Shraim Trua. First time perfect, second time perfect. But the third time was supposed to be a charm. But instead of being a charm, listen to what happened in the third time that he had his Shvarim Trua. Ubishlishis, the third time, when he was doing the last part of the Tashrat order, Taka Shnei Shvarim, and then as he was supposed to finish with the last two, his was a two, 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 and then go straight into the Truah. But before he got that last third of the Shvarim, he started blowing a Truah. So what he did was, he did like this, Tekiya, beautiful Tekiya, Shvarim Truah, and he blew like this. And then he caught himself having just begun a Truah in the middle of his Shvarim, two-thirds of the way into his Shvarim. And when this happened, pandemonium broke loose in the shul in Mainz, and there was a gigantic argument. I don't know if they were talking or they were waving, and without words, I don't know. But this was the argument in that shul in Mainz in 1045. Two bullet points. Hechziru mixas hakal v'amru lo. Some of the people said, you blew two parts of a Shvarim. What are you missing? The third part of the Shvarim. So just blow now. You got interrupted with a little mistaken part of a Truah. Stop your mistaken Truah. Just blow what you were missing. You had two parts of your Shvarim. Blow now a third part of the Shvarim. That means they argued, this first group of the people in the shul said, you did it to do another, to finish your Shvarim. Even though there was a little bit of this little interruption of this little mini Truah that wasn't really Truah. And then you'll continue after you finish the third part of the Shvarim, the third of your Shvarim. Then you could go ahead and blow your regular Truah for the Shvarim Truah. Other people said, what do you mean? There's a hefsek here. You were in the middle of a Shvarim and now you interrupted your Shvarim? Start again. Start from the beginning. Okay. So what did he do? Who won out? So he was under pressure. Some people were saying, just continue what you have to do, what's remaining, that third Shvarim, the third of the third three Shvarims. And the other people say, no, you lost it. You have to go back to the beginning. So he buckled and he went back to the beginning. He thought he'd be frum, I guess. Do it again, right? But look what he did. What does the word beginning mean? The word beginning means the beginning of that line that he messed up on, or beginning of the entire Seder of the Tashrat. Well, what he did was, he went all the way back to the beginning of the entire Seder of the Tashrats. One second, please. Oh, so Mr. Bergman says it's 10:44, not 10:45. I did my math wrong. Are you telling me I did my math wrong? That could be. I did my own math and... Nope. No problem. But just double check, because I thought I got my math right. But I was thinking of Tavkuf Pei. You're right. No, thank you. We just changed it. It's correct. Now, you made your way, Mr. Bergman, into these notes. So if I ever publish these notes, you know that you had a chelik in it. Yes, so it's 10:44 of the Common Era, not 10:45. That's right, thank you. So this Baal Tokea, under pressure, he went back to the beginning. But what does it mean he went back to the beginning? Even though he was already in the third line, he did Tashrat, and messed up on the third Tashrat, he went all the way back to the beginning of the Tashrat cycle and continued from there. That's what happened in the year 1044 in the shul in Mainz. Now, the Ravan is writing this tshuva, recording this. Remember, the Ravan was born, according to the Bar Ilan history, around 1090. So he wasn't even alive when this happened. But you know who was alive when this happened? His shver. Who is his shver? His shver is Rebbe Yochim. And let's see what his shver, Rebbe Yochim's attitude was towards this episode in the shul in Mainz. Vayichar af mori chami, my Rebbe, my Shver, Rebbe Yochim, got very angry at this, what this shul pushed the Baal Tokea to do, right? It sounds like they were really frum. They erred on the side of caution, right? And they went back not only to the beginning of the line, they went all the way back to the beginning. Va'amr me'olam lo ra'inu lachzor l'rosh mepnei el hadvarim. For these kinds of mistakes, you don't go back to the beginning, says his Shver Rebbe Yochim. V'shalo kadin asu hamachzirim aso. Those frumaks who want them to go all the way back to the beginning, they did shalom kedin. V'hamachzirim amru kedinaso. But the people who went back said, no, we are right, we did do right. And the joke that I made tonight, those of you who heard it before, you don't have to laugh, but everybody else, please laugh, was that, and remember, in the shul, these are all Rishonim. So they're all Rishonim arguing with each other. So it's not so simple to have a, you know, to discuss, to get into a fight with these people, because they're all Rishonim. So they all had to be right, of course. Okay, now if you didn't get my joke, don't worry about it. So the Ravan says, that's what my father-in-law says. My father-in-law says that he made a mistake, the Baal Tokei made a mistake to go back. He should have just gone ahead. Remember, what did he do? He blew, in the Shvarim Tshuva, he blew the first two-thirds of the Shvarim, a little interruption of that Tshuva, that little bit of a Tshuva. He should, the proper thing to do would be to continue with the third of the Shvarim and just move forward, that he did not lose anything with that little interruption in the middle of his Shvarim. That's what I think, says Ravan. Nearly Shaloka didn't have Zerulos. They shouldn't have put him back. And now he's going to explain. I'll say it outside and then we could sit inside. He says a very simple lumdus. He says, why do we do a Shvarim Tshuva in the first place? What's the whole point of a Shvarim Tshuva? The Shvarim Tshuva is an uncertainty. When the Torah says to blow shofar, the Torah does not say to blow tekiyas. The Torah says to blow a Tshuva. We don't know what a Tshuva is. Maybe it's a Shvarim. Maybe it's a Tshuva. And maybe it's a Shvarim Tshuva. There's a lot of lumdus to what I'm saying right now. We're not going to go into that lumdus. But there's three possible ways of what the Torah says. When the Torah says Yom Tshuva, Yelachem, Zichron Tshuva, what does the word Tshuva mean? So we are doing a Tashrat, Shvarim Tshuva, because maybe that's what the word Tshuva means when the Torah says Tshuva. Well, if that's the case, what happened in this case? What happened in this case is he made a mistake in the middle of a Shvarim Tshuva. So if he makes a mistake, if you are doing a Shvarim and then you would go to a Tshuva, of course that's a Hefsik. Of course it's a Hefsik. If you're supposed to be a Shvarim and you do Tshuva, they're two different things. But if you have a Shvarim Tshuva, it's one big happy Shvarim Tshuva. If you make a mistake in the middle of a Shvarim Tshuva, you just made a mistake in the middle of a Shvarim Tshuva, not after a Shvarim. Again, if you're in a Shvarim and you make a mistake and you move to a Tshuva, the Tshuva is going to be a mistake, a Hefsek. If you're in the middle of a Tshuva and you start doing a Shvarim, the Shvarim will be a Hefsek. But when you have a Shvarim Tshuva, both parts combine to become one. It's a Shvarim Tshuva. And as long as you're in the middle of this Shvarim Tshuva, you just got messed up in the middle of it. Go ahead and continue. You're still in the middle of it. You never finished it. Go ahead. And the Tshuva is not a Hefsek in the middle of your Shvarim Tshuva because you never finished. You're still in the middle of it. Let's see how he says it. Also, look at the screen. Also tokeya shechiser echem min hashvarim. You lost the third of the shever. Lohiv sidur sidro bekach. You didn't lose everything. You didn't lose that whole line. The kevin the true shvarim shnehem mishum trua dekraka avidlehu. The shvarim trua that you do, it's all to replace that one trua that the Torah requires us to blow. Therefore, it's like one thing. Lo pasal es sidro bekach, v'havi kila hischa b'shever, v'niskal bo, shechozer lov. You know what this is like? This is like, let's say you have just a regular shvarim. And you mess up in the middle of a shvarim. You mess up your shvarim. So what do you have to do? You don't have to go back to the tekiah. You mess up the shvarim, just do your shvarim. Because you messed up in the middle of your shvarim. You didn't get the shvarim out. If you did a full shvarim, and then you did something else, that might be a hefsek. But if you messed up in the middle of a shvarim, it's not considered a hefsek. It just means you didn't get your shvarim out. You're trying, it doesn't come out. So do what you need to do until you get it out. Let's say you have a trua, just a trua, tekiya, just a regular trua. And you're sputtering and spitting and sputtering and spitting and sputtering and spitting and sputtering. You could sputter and spit for 10 times trying to get a good trua out. Till you get a trua out, those aren't hefsekim. Why? Because it's all getting the trua out. Well, what do we have here? Here, I blew the shvarim and I paused and I broke it with a trua. A trua is not foreign, because if you're in the realm of shvarim trua, you see my hands coming together. You're in a shvarim trua. The shvarim is not foreign to the trua. The trua is not foreign to the shvarim. So when you're mafsik your shvarim, by introducing a little bit of a trua, that's not considered a hefsek. Because they're one, they're united. They're bonded together. They dovetail one together, one with another. They're united and unified. And therefore, since they're unified, you have to do a shvarim trua. As long as you didn't do your shvarim trua, you're in the middle of your shvarim trua, and you can't get it out. You're having problems getting it out. You didn't finish the shvarim and be mafsik with something else. You're in the middle of it, and it's just not coming out. So when you're able to finally get it out properly, what are you missing? You did shvarim, the first part of the shvarim, the second part of the shvarim. You got a little fablunjid. So what do you have to get out? The third part of your shvarim. And until you get out the third part of your shvarim, you're still in the middle of struggling to get your shvarim out. And that is permitted. That's not a hefsek. And therefore, you should just continue where you are now. Mr. Willimowski, what's your question? Why? And he did 2/3 of it. So what is he missing? He whatted? He interrupted? I don't understand the word you just said. You just said he interrupted? But that's not called an interruption. Interruption is when there's a min she'eino mino. An interruption means a foreign object flies into my system. A shvarim is 3 short sounds. I did 2 of them. I got a little fablunjid. Now I have to do my 3rd sound. That's the shear of what a shvarim trua is. So you're arguing that a shvarim is 3 sounds, not just 3 sounds. That's what I'm arguing. You're arguing, no, a shvarim is 3 sounds together. And if they're not together, does hasten ken shvarim? It's not called a shvarim. It was separated by another sound. So guess what? There's a ravon against you. Okay, we're going to get into details as far as other possibilities, but I just want to say what he says. What he says is, the right thing to do, when you did 2 shvarims, you got a little confused with by introducing a little bit of a trua, all you have to do is one tiny little shvarim, the 3rd of the shvarim is all you need to continue, and then you'll continue kaseri, you'll do your trua afterwards. That's what he says in the next line. Hachanami, yitka shever acher. That's all you were missing, that third third of the shvarim. And then after you do that 3rd that you were lacking, continue to do your trua and your tkiya to finish off the section. Why? Dekevet shelo nigmara hatrua lo have hefsek. If you're in the middle of something, if you're in a shvarim trua, it's one unit, and therefore it's until you finish getting it out properly, nothing else could be a hefsek. Or maybe I should say it differently. The trua is not considered a hefsek because it's inside of a shvarim trua. That's the first half of the Ra'avan's Psak. A fascinating argument where he says that all you had to do was just continue that third little bit that you're missing. So if you had a stop that, to get the third shvarim in, and then you'll move on forward. However, the Ravan will now introduce one more point. One more point before we talk about other opinions and other ways to look at it. The Ravan says the following. But let's say this poor Baal Tokeya, he did his 2/3 of the shvarim, and then he interrupted with that little bit of a trua. But he actually got far in that trua. He did like this, two, and before he got the 3rd shvarim, he did two, and he rattled off a trua. And then suddenly realized that he was missing the 3rd shvarim. Oh, he did a complete trua, that's already a hefsek. That's already a hefsek, if he did a complete trua. Avavadai, look inside. Avavadai, im nigmara hatrua, heavy hefsek. Why? The kevan de givel shvarim, echad hein, v'hufseku betrua, heavy hefsek, devi ketrua shnechlak lishnayim, she'en aklum. Let's explain what this line means. What I'm supposed to do here, I'm doing a shvarim trua, which is to take the place of a trua, right? Now, this kol, which is a shvarim trua, and I'm supposed to do a shvarim and a trua to make my shvarim trua. Once you have a full kol, that makes it that I had a full kol in between the beginning of my Shvarim Tshuva and the end of my Shvarim Tshuva. What is my Shvarim Tshuva made out of? Well, in the beginning, he did the two blasts of the Shvarim. He had this little interruption, and he has to finish off with the little blast of the Shvarim, the third blast of the Shvarim, and continue with the Tshuva. But between, in the middle, like, let's say, you look at my fingers. You have the first Shvarim, second Shvarim, third Shvarim, and then after the third Shvarim, you're supposed to have a Tshuva. What did he do? He took a full kol and separated, you see that? Separated between the two halves of what my Shvarim should be. He didn't just interrupt with he interrupted with a whole kol. So that means he has a Shvarim Tshuva that should be, that has two parts. There's a Shvarim and a Tshuva to it. And he interjected within it a full kol in the middle of it. If he just interjected with a tita, a meaningless, you know, glitch bit, whatever you want to call it, that's not going to ruin anything. But if he interrupted, he put through in the middle of it a full kol that broke the that broke his Shvarim Tshuva in half. That's what the Ravon holds. That's what Ravon holds. Okay. What clearly is not necessary to discuss is the fact that the first, remember we were in the Seder of Tashrat, and there are three sets of this Tashrat, Tashrat, Tashrat. And he only messed up in the third line of the Tashrat. So the first two lines were not, that definitely he doesn't have to go back for. That's what he says in this line. Aval Beis Kashrak HaRishonah, the first Tashrats, first two Tashrats, Lo Hivsid, because there was no mistake there. We're not going to go into that. That is the opinion of the Ra'avan. Fine, we're not going to go through the rest of the Ravon. He has a lot of interesting things there. One interesting thing which I wanted to tell you is the reason, he says, the reason why you blow shofar on Rosh on Elul. Anyone know why we blow shofar during Elul? To wake us to do tshuva. He says, no, there's a historical reason. He quotes a Pirkei d'Rabbi Elazar. Again, it's nothing to do with us, it's just in this Ravon, this long Ravon, which is a fascinating Ravon. He quotes a Pirkei d'Rabbi Elazar that on Rosh Chodesh Elul, Moshe went back up to Har Sinai to try to get the second set of luchos, which ultimately he came down with on Yom HaKippurim. Guess what? When he went up to get that second set of luchos, when he went up to Har Sinai for the third time on Rosh Chodesh Elul, he blew a shofar to announce that he's going up to Har Sinai. So since he blew a shofar on Rosh Chodesh Elul, we blow a shofar on Rosh Chodesh Elul. And we continue, I guess. But that's the reason, that's the historical reason that the Ravon says why we have the minhag to start playing the shofar Rosh Chodesh Elul, because Moshe Rabbeinu did. Okay. So we finished the story, the wonderful story of the Maisa B'Magenza, and we learned what the Ravon said, quoting, you know, from his Shver, who was in the heat of the of this fight. And the Ravon goes like his Shver and says two points. The point number one is that the proper thing to do, to have done, what the Baal Tokeya should have done, when the Baal Tokeya blew the two-thirds of the Shvarim, and then got a little bit interrupted with a little blitch, he should have just continued with the third part of the Shvarim, and continued ahead. That was the first point. And the second point was the Ravon, but that if indeed there would have been that little glitch in the middle, would have been a full Trua, like this, oops, then I would not be able to finish my Shvarim after a full Shrua. Why? Because a full Shrua would be a kol that would be interrupting in the middle of the Shvarim Shrua. That is the opinion of the Ravon, the two points of the Ravon. Comes the Rush, and he quotes this very same story. In the year 1044. And he tells a story, he quotes the Ravon, that the Rebbe Yochum was angry about this, and the Ravon, his son-in-law, said, my Shver is right. Okay. And the Rush is going to argue on both of these points. We'll see if it's because of what you thought or not. And you'll see, Mr. Wilimowski, it's not because of what you thought. Says the Rush, we're going to talk about the first point of the Ravon, which is the more interesting point. The Ravon said that when the Baal Tokeya did his first two parts of the Shvarim, And then he got, you know, a little lost in the middle. He should have done the third part of the Shvarim. What happened when this whole episode unfolded? There was pandemonium in the shul. He was looking around, trying to see what should I do. As he was looking around, these people were screaming, go back. These people were screaming, go weiter, say your Shvarim. I tell you one thing. You know what he did during that point? He breathed. Because if you don't breathe, you die. So I'm sure that he breathed. Because he was a human. Even the Rishonim. Even in Mainz. Even in 1044. Even the Baal Tokeya for that shul are full of Rishonim. They had to breathe. That means that in the middle of the Shvarim Trua, he breathed in the middle. The Rush says the very fact that he breathed in the middle, that should be a problem. Let me say that again. He did two Shvarims, he didn't do the third. He had a little bit of a, he started doing a Trua, caught himself in the middle, and he's looking around. At that point, when he's looking around, some people are saying go back to the beginning because you put a Trua in before you finish your Shvarim, and the other people are saying you just have to do the last third of the Shvarim. Go ahead, do the last third. He breathed. If you breathe, says the Rush, you broke your Shvarim Trua into a Shvarim Trua with a breath. And the Rush says, I don't like that. I don't like Shvarim Trua with breaths. I like what we call in Rosh Hashanah, Shvarim Trua, right? When you listen to the Makri on Rosh Hashanah, they have two ways to say it. They say sometimes, Shvarim Trua, that means with a breath. And when the Baal Makri says, Shvarim Trua, that means the Baal Tokeh is going to do it without a breath. So the Rosh says, I think the right thing is that you have to do it without a breath. A Shvarim Trua is one kol, no breath in the middle, and therefore you have to say, if he breathed, which he had to, because there was pandemonium and he had to figure out what to do, and people were telling him, do this, do that, obviously he had to take a breath. That breath was the problem. Theoretically, the Rush will say, we'll see it in a moment. You could, I believe in the Ravan. The Ravan would have been right that you could have just added that third of the Shvarim that you had forgotten, because you just interrupted after the first two thirds. You could have really just, if you caught yourself immediately, you could have just done that third. But since you took a breath, that messed you up. Let's see that inside. Umasha Kosav, that which the Ravan wrote, Sheyachzer Shever Achad V'yaria, that all you had to do is do the third Shever and just continue with your Trua, the last part of the Shvarim Trua, and move on. Mashma Midvarav She'ein Tzarech Lasos Shlosha Shvarim V'Nishim Achas. You see from that statement, since presumably he breathed, that even the three Shvarims, according to the Ravan, which we learned a moment ago, even the three Shvarims could be with two different neshimas. It doesn't have to be neshimachas. That means you're allowed to do two. That's how you could do a shvarim with a breath in the middle. And says the Rosh, I don't like that. Aval afima shekasadil el shetzarech la'asosu b'neshimachas hayetzarech lachzav l'sko shlosha shvarim. You'd have to start, maybe you don't have to start the whole tashrat again, maybe you don't have to go back to the beginning of the line to the tekiah, but at least the Shvarim Trua, you should have to begin again because you had a breath in the middle of, it wasn't even a breath in the middle of your Shvarim Trua. It was a breath in the middle of your Shvarim. That I don't like, says the Rush. Let's back up. What about the other? So what did the Ravan say? The Ravan apparently says, I don't mind. The Ravan presumably doesn't even mind if there was a breath in the middle of a, even if it's in the middle of a Shvarim. Forget about that, it's in the Shvarim Trua. Even in the middle of the Shvarim, the Ravan seems to have been okay with breathing in the middle of a Shvarim. That's interesting. So in this point, the Rosh is Machmir, and he says, I think that since there was a breath, the proper mode of action should have been for that Baal Tokeya. After he messed up, he did his two Shvarim, and then he did a little bit of a Trua, and he paused. Once he took that breath, he should have to do a Shvarim Trua again. Not the first Tekiah again. He doesn't have to go back to the first Tekiah again. Just do the Shvarim Trua again. That's the first point. So the Rush argues on the Ravan. That's the first point. And now let's talk about a second point. If you remember, the Ravan told us a second point, that is, that what happens if the Baal Tokeya had a full Trua in the middle? Right? He blows his two-thirds of the Shvarim, and then he did a full Trua. The Ravan said, that's a Hefsek. Guess what? The Rush says, it's not a Hefsek. Here, the Rush is going to be a Mako. The Rush is going to say something incredible. You did two Shvarims, and before you did the third Shever, you did a full. The Rosh is going to say, that's not called a hefsek. What does it mean if there's something's a hefsek? If something's a hefsek, that means that it's divorced from the tekiah before it, or it's divorced from the tekiah after it. If you have a hefsek between you have a peanut butter, I shouldn't say that. You have a jelly sandwich. What do you have to have? You have to have the bread next to the jelly. And on the other side of the sandwich, you have to have the jelly next to the bread. You can't have a hefsek between the bread and the jelly, or the jelly and the bread, either on either side of the jelly. That we know, right? So says the Rush, if you're in the middle of a Shvarim Trua, and you introduce a what? You introduce a Trua, guess what? Since you're in the middle of the Shvarim Trua, and you didn't get it, you didn't finish your Shvarim Trua, right? You're still in the middle of a Shvarim Trua. You're in the middle of a Shvarim Trua. If you're in the middle of a Shvarim Trua, well, a Shvarim is part of it, and a Trua is part of it, that means neither of them are a Hefsek. Because if you're in the middle of something, and you get lost, you're having problems with getting out, whatever you're trying, you're doing a Shvarim, you can't get your Shvarim out. Until you get your Shvarim out, nothing's a Hefsek, as long as you try to get your Shvarim out. If you're trying to do your Trua, and you're sputtering and spitting, and trying to get your Trua out, as long as you try to do your Trua, nothing's a hefsek. Well, says the Russian, this is his chiddush, when you do a shvarim trua, both of them are appropriate. And therefore, even though you have this trua smack in the middle of your shvarim, that's not going to be a full trua. That's not going to be considered a hefsek. And therefore, if it's not considered a hefsek, it's just part of your blowing, you don't have to go back to the original tekiah. You could just go back to the shvarim and do your shvarim trua, because you're finally going to get it out right. You'll get it out correctly now. Let's see that inside. Umasha kosav, that which the Baal had, that's what the Ravan wrote. Avavadayim nigmura hatrua have a hefsek. The Ravan, who we learned a few minutes ago, said that if you interrupted your shvarim in the middle of your shvarim, you got a full trua, that's a hefsek. V'havi ketrua shnechka l'shtayim, that's enoklum. The Ravan said that if you interrupt with a full true in the middle, that you lost your whole thing. You have to start from the very beginning, because it's like a hefsek. You have to start from the beginning and do a new tekiah. Shvarim trua tekiah. Says the Rosh, Eino nira li. I don't think that's true. You know why? Look what he says. Look at this lamdas he's going to say. The kevan shlo gomer hatashrak. So you didn't finish your shvarim trua. Im ein hatrua klum, b'shvil shenechel kalishtayim, yachsu v'yitka shlosh shvarim, 1 second, what is he saying? The kevan shlo gomer hatashrak, im ein hatrua klum, b'shvil shenechel kalishtayim, yachsu v'yitka shlosh shvarim. Right, he's saying that since the shvarim trua both are in the right place, Shvarim and Trua both belong here. And therefore, if you did a Trua, you took care of both. I'm sorry, if you did a Trua, it fit. You're messing up your Shvarim Trua. When you're messing up your Shvarim Trua, you just have to fix yourself until you get it right. Nothing will be a hefsek for you in the middle of your Shvarim Trua until you get your Shvarim Trua right. Therefore, a Trua, even a full Trua, will not be a hefsek in the middle of your Shvarim Trua. And that is a kula. No. If you did a full trua in the middle, you can't just do a third trua. To that extent, he agrees, right? But what he does, but the Rush is lenient in that even if you did a full trua, you don't have to do another tekiah rishona. You don't have to go back to the original tekiah. You just have to do the shvarim trua again. That's the Rush's opinion. And he explains himself. He says very often, and this is a very common thing that Baal Tekiah experience. Let's say you have a Baal Tekiah is trying to get a tekiah out. We'll wait for him till he does it right. No problem. He blows a tekiah. Tekiah to... Now he does a shvarim. And he just can't get his shvarim right. Finally he does it. Can I ask you, were those attempts that he did for the past 20 seconds, when he was trying to get it right, but he didn't. Were those a hefsek between that first tkiya and the shorim that he did get right? No, it's not a hefsek. That's what the Rosh says here. Upa'am, look what I have highlighted on the screen. Upa'am in Rabbos, it happens very often. Shahatokeya maschil iskoa, he starts to blow, and it doesn't work. Ve'ein ha'kol ola lo yafa. It's not working for him. Uposek, so he stops, he pauses. Umaschil iskoa, ola haria, and he tries it again. That's not a psul, that's not a hefsek. Veloma psul bishvil shehifse bekol katsar shehishmiya b'shofar delomik. That's not considered a hefsek. As long as you're not doing a different kol, if you're trying to blow a shvarim, as long as you didn't blow a tkiya and you didn't blow a trua, you just were trying to get the shvarim out, even if it wasn't a good shvarim, you're still doing okay. As long as you're not doing something totally different. So here, if you're doing a shvarim trua, if that's your goal, then even if you did a full trua, in the middle, it's not going to be a hefsek because it does belong in this set. That's the opinion of the Rosh. So to summarize, and we're finished with the main sources, and now we're going to start the lamdas. I wrote it in English just to summarize it because I know this is a little bit complicated and this is a little bit to hold cup. If you have any idea how many times I had to read this Rush and this Ravan just to get the whole picture right and what they're holding and what the differences are. I had to go through a lot of times just to get this clear. So I put it out for you the following. The Rush says 2 points. I'm sorry. The Ravan originally made 2 points. First of all, the Ravan said that when you did your Shvarim, two-thirds of the Shvarim, you should just do a third Shvarim. And the Rosh said, no, 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 you took a breath. Since you took a breath, you can't just do your third shvarim now. There's a breath that separated them. A breath will break the thing apart. That's the first machlokas. And then the second machlokas was what happens when you actually do have a full trua in the middle? You did two, 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 two. I didn't do the last third of the shvarim. So the Ravan says, well, if you did a full trua in the middle, you lost it. You have to start all the way at the very beginning. That's a hefsek. You have to start at the beginning of the line. You have to start with another tekiah. And the Rosh says, no. Even though you introduced a foreign trua, a full trua in the middle, since trua is part of the theme right now, it's part of the shvarim trua. It's just you're just trying to get it out. It's a shvarim and trua. They both belong here. It's just trying to get your shvarim trua out properly, and you don't have to go back to the beginning of the line. Those are 2 points that the Ravan argues on the Rosh. I would like to suggest, gentlemen, this is take it or leave it, a chiddush, maybe I'm right, maybe it's been said before, that these 2 points of the Rush arguing on the Ra'avan are indeed l'shitasei. These 2 points actually work together. And let me present it to you as I have here in English. So in case my words aren't as clear, you could see it in my writing. The Rush said 2 points. Let's look at the Rush first. The Rush says that if you took a breath, if you did your shvarim, your two-thirds of the shvarim, then you took a breath, then you want to do your third part of the shvarim, a breath breaks things apart. Let's think about that. What does he hold? The Ravan says, no, I don't care if there was a breath. What happens if you hold that, if the Rush says that there's a breath, apparently the Rush says that this shvarim trua is one big chunk. It's one big chaticha. It's one big piece. And therefore, it has to be neshima achas. If there's anything, if it's going to be done in two breaths, it's not going to have that one integrated definition of one kol. Because the Rush, I believe, looks at a shvarim trua as one integrated kol. A shvarim trua is not that the Torah says, oh, do a shvarim and a trua. Do these two kolos to make up your trua. No. The shvarim trua becomes one kol. Therefore, if there's going to be an neshima between them, it's not the kol that the Torah wants. And therefore, if anywhere, any place that you're going to put a neshima, it's going to break your neshima achas. It's going to break that union that the Rosh wants to have. Oh, so if that's the case, if it's a unit, there's going to come out a kula. If we assume that the Shvarim Trua merges, is smelted to become one shtick, one chaticha, one miksha, then guess what? As long as you are working on your Shvarim Trua, as long as you're working on either the Shvarim or the Trua, you didn't get the Shvarim Trua out correctly yet, so nothing could be a hefsik. You know why? Because it's one kol. If it's one kol that has a Shvarim and a Trua, until you do your Shvarim and your Trua, nothing could be a hefsik. Let me explain with the other side. The Ravan says no. The Ravan says there's a Shvarim and a Trua. You're supposed to do a Shvarim Trua, but these are two things, a Shvarim kol and a Trua kol. They're two separate kolos. You're supposed to do one right after the other to make your Shvarim Trua, but they're two separate kolos. Well, if they're two separate kolos, number one, the Ravan says, I don't mind if it's two neshimas. And number two, says the Ravan, since it is two separate kolos, what happens if you interrupted your Shvarim with a full Trua? They're two separate things. That's an interruption. I had to do a Shvarim and you interrupted it with a Trua? That's not right. That's a real interruption. Meaning, if I have a Shvarim Trua, the Ravan says, would I have a Shvarim Trua? The Ravan says, oh, you have a Shvarim Trua? You have a Shvarim Trua? That means that you have two kolos, and if you interrupt it with anything, you interrupt your shvarim with the trua, you interrupt your trua with the shvarim, that's an interruption. Why is it an interruption? Because there's a shvarim call, so a trua is an interruption to it. There's a trua call, a shvarim could be an interruption to it. However, according to the Rosh, there's no such thing as a shvarim and a trua. It's a shvarim trua. It's a shvarim trua together. And since it's a shvarim trua together, could there be a hefsik? Could the shvarim be a hefsik? No, because it's part of the shvarim trua. Could a trua be a hefsik? No, because it's part of the shvarim trua. So therefore, nothing could be a hefsik according to the rush. And therefore, the rush has a kula and has a chumrah. Well, let's see. What is his kula and his chumrah? The Rush first had a chumrah where he said, I don't want you, if you took a breath, I don't want you to add another shvarim. You took a breath, you separated them. And they have to be together, the Rush holds. Oh, but since he holds that they have to be together, that they're all unified and united and melted together, well, guess what? Since it's one cold, called a shvarim trua, it's only going to be a hefsik if you do something that's not part of it. Well, is a shvarim part of a shvarim trua? Yes. Is a trua part of a shvarim trua? Yes. So neither of them will be a hefsik. That's why the Rush holds that if you did the two, and then you did a full trua before you got to your third part of the shvarim, that trua was not an interruption. You know why? Because it's part of the holistic, unified shvarim trua entity. And a trua is not a hefsik to a shvarim trua because it's part of it. However, the Ravan held not like that. The Ravan held that there's a Shvarim and there's a Trua. You do them together. Of course, you do a Shvarim Trua. But there could be a breath in the middle. No problem. They're two separate kolos anyway. And the Ravan also says, I don't mind. And the Ravan also says, but since they're two separate things, if you put a Trua in the middle of your Shvarim, that's a big problem. Because the Ravan holds they're two separate things. That means there's a Shvarim and a Trua. So when you're doing your Shvarim, you better not have a break in the middle of your Shvarim and interrupting it with something foreign, with a foreign particle called a trua. According to the Rush, that trua that you blew in the middle of the shvarim is not a foreign particle. Because the Rush sees that the shvarim trua is one unit, it's one kol. And therefore the trua is part of it and won't be an interruption. It's not foreign. Go ahead. According to the Rush, right? Except for the fact that since he sees it as one thing, you can't break it apart with a breath. That's exactly what he says. Oh, then there won't be a machlokas. Without a breath, is normal. Everyone agrees. The Rush agrees that if you would not have interrupted with a different breath, yeah, no, the Rush holds that. That's all the poskim assume like that. The Rush says the reason why you can't blow the third shever is only because you took a breath. That's what he says. Now let's understand it. That means if you didn't take a breath, the Rush would be okay with you doing the two shevers. Then you have a little ditch in the middle, a little something very small, meaningless. The Rush would allow you to do your third shever because you didn't take a breath. Oh, if you did a whole trua, that's a hefsek. According to the Rush, and that's why the Rush holds in that case, since the Rush holds that it's all one unified shvarim trua, the trua is not going to be constituted a hefsek. Correct. According to the Rush, it's not considered a hefsek. According to the Rush, if you did a full trua, you definitely don't have to do another tekiah. You don't have to go back to the beginning of the tekiah. Oh yeah, no, you have to. It's not a hefsek between the shvarim trua and the tekiah. You might have to do another shvarim because you did a kol in between, because you didn't do your shvarim yet. No, but once you do a full kol, once you do a full trua, then you don't have a shvarim anymore. So you have to do the shvarim trua now, but you don't have to do the tekiah because there's no hefsek. Okay, let's finish off. That was basically what I wanted to tell you tonight, why these two points of the Rush, the two points of the Ravan, work together. There's one person against me. You know what his name is? His name is Rav Yosef Karo. Because if you look at the Shulchan Aruch, how he paskins this famous Shaila, this Maisa B'Magensa, he takes one of the two points of the Ravan, and he takes the other point from the Rush. And I wanted to suggest that the two points of the Ravan go together and the two points of the Rush go together, but unfortunately, the Shulchan Aruch doesn't hold like me. Because let's look at the Shulchan Aruch and you'll see, and we'll finish with this, that he takes one, he mixes, and he matches. Let's look at the Shulchan Aruch, what he paskins this Maisa B'Magensa. Remember, there are two cases. They're both the same case, but there's the switch in the middle. There's a case, the case of Maisa B'Magensa is two Shvarims, a little interruption, and now the third shever. The question is, case number one, the little interruption was just a tita. And case two, the interruption was a tita 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 tita, a full trua. Look at the Shulchan Aruch, gentlemen. Said paskins the Shulchan Aruch in Tavkuf Tzadi, Siv Zayin, Imta b'tashrat. You made a mistake in your shvarim trua. Va'acha shetaka beis shvarim. After you blew your two shvarim, ta, you made your mistake. V'hischil hariyah, you started your trua. Oh, im nizkar miyad. If you remember immediately, what should you do? Blow a shever acher. Blow another shever. Who is that like? That's like the Ravan, who says that you just have to do the shever. You don't have to redo the three shvarim because of Nishim Acha's concerns. So there he's passing like the Ravan. You're right, but I think we're assuming, you're right, if that's the case, you're right. But I think we're assuming that you... He's quoting the case as the Rishonim have discussed it, where there was presumably a breath that was taken. I hear what you're saying. I understand. If you're right, then it's great. If you're right, then I'm happier if you're right. I just don't know if you are. But if you're right, then I'm even happier. And look at the second half of the Shulchan Aruch. This is how we paskim. Vim lo nizkar. Again, you did your two shrums. Two, and then you... You finish your entire trua in the middle. Guess what? You don't have to go back to the beginning of the line. Why? Because since it's a shvarim trua, it's a unified, cohesive block, the trua is not a hefsik for it. You just have to do the shvarim trua again. This is the Rush. If you want to say that, that's great, then I'm happy. Okay. This, Rabbosai, was the opinion. This is the Maisa B'Magensa that happened in the Shul of Mainz, Germany, in the year 1044. You should just know there is one other opinion. There's another opinion who says that even if you didn't have a real interruption, even if you had a tiny little interruption, just two dits, two, and then a tita, something interrupting it, there is an opinion of the of the who was it? Rabbi Yoel Halevi. Rabbi Yoel Halevi argues and has a new opinion. Do you know who Rabbi Yoel Halevi is? Gentlemen, let me scroll back up all the way to the beginning of tonight's discussion, the history lesson that I started up with. Do you remember who the Ravon's son-in-law was? Rabbi Yoel Halevi. The big Bar Plugta, who says that in this Maisa de Magensa, you actually, that anything is considered an interruption and you can't just do another Shever, you can't continue, you have to go back all the way to the beginning, because whenever you make a mistake with a, if you're doing a Shvarim, you do any part of it true, you have to go all the way back to the beginning. The one who argues is Rabbi Yoel Halevi. That's him arguing on his Shver. So we have something funny. The original Shiloh was discussed by Rabbeinu Eliakim. His son-in-law, the Ravon, says, yes, my dear father-in-law, you're right. The Rush argued a little bit, and comes Ravon's own son-in-law, Rabbi Yoel Halevi, and says, my dear Shver, you're totally wrong. So here I could have called this the battle of the in-laws. That would have been perhaps an appropriate... Yeah, if somebody's trying to do something different, that could be a problem. That could be. So that's... thank you, gentlemen, for joining us. I know this is a little... Takiyah Shofar, you should know, is always a hard shear. It's hard to prepare. It's hard to listen to. Whatever you got, Ashreichem. It's very technical. It's very involved. And the Chachma, that's why we say that Takiyah Eina Malacha Chachmahi. To know, you know, to blow a shofar, we're not talking about knowing how to toot. We're talking about to know the halachas, how to exactly do it. There's so much chachma, there's so much...